There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are in our 7 o'clock hour, and it is brought to you by Zero Res. Smart, lasting, clean. Falcons see the Saints this weekend, and they will also be seeing an interim head coach for New Orleans in Darren Rizzi, because the Saints announced yesterday they have let go of head coach Dennis Allen.
I am a little bit shocked, to Bo's point earlier, Tiff, that Clint Kubiak didn't get a look at this. And I don't know that he's ready for that interim tag, but I think he's somebody that would be on your interview list, right? And so why not see what you've got going on? Maybe they thought it would be too much to put on his plate, and maybe you give it to the special teams coordinator so that there's a little bit more leeway. Maybe as him as a play caller, you don't want to throw that on him this early in his career as an OC or whatever it may be. But he's one of those fast risers, and I still think he's a good play caller and a good play designer, man. I think they've done some good things offensively when they've all been healthy this year, and I think there's a lot to be said for him in that role.
Well, think about it. I was just watching this Bucks-Chiefs replay, and I started thinking back to Dave Canales. Did anybody have Dave Canales on their bingo card as a future head coach this time last year? I mean, maybe starting to think about him, but no. And now I'm sitting here watching Liam Cohen, and Baker Mayfield went from a guy who people tried to say was getting OCs and coaches fired to maybe he's getting head coaches hired.
Yeah.
Because if this Bucks offense that you saw, who at one point in time they're up 14-10 and they've thrown two passes, they've got two catches from their wide receivers for 22 yards, yet they're on the road up against the two-time defending back-to-back three-time world champion with Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City, and they're also undefeated, and they ended up losing the game. So, Cohen might be there, that guy. We might have to see Kubiak. Maybe Cohen gets a job this year, and we have to see Kubiak in Tampa.
In Tampa? That would be a nightmare.
Well, it would be awful.
I'll be honest, and I know you love when I'm honest with you. Liam Cohen.
I don't want you to lie to me.
First of all, Liam Cohen, every time he came on the TV last night, I thought I was looking at Arthur Smith. I don't know if y'all get that vibe. He's dressed like him. He looks like him. I'm like, dude, Arthur Smith. Oh, no, that's not Arthur Smith. But to your point, Dave Canales gets the head coaching job in Carolina. I don't know that Dave Canales was their first option, right? I think that was the situation with the owner and everything else going on over there. I think they probably had to make a few phone calls before they found a head coach. But Dave Canales was the OC in one of the worst rushing offenses in NFL history the last couple of years. When you look at the way they were able to run the ball the last couple of years, awful, awful. And so there's a lot to be said about what Liam Cohen is doing, and also Clint Kubiak as well. So I do think that when you look around at the offenses in this league, they are head and shoulders above, offensive coordinator-wise, above where they were just a couple of years ago. And I think there's a lot to be said about both those offenses. And I think you'd probably love to have a guy like Clint Kubiak, say, in a Carolina to throw a little bit of a run game into what they have over there, because obviously whoever's at quarterback is probably going to need it next year.
Well, we won't see Kubiak as the interim head coach this weekend again. It's going to be Darren Rizzi. So now as for who's going to be on the field, there are some question marks for the Falcons. And you can look at Grady Jarrett. We all know what he means to this team. And he dealt with an Achilles sprain, I believe it was.
Strain.
Thank you. And so Coach Raheem Morris said that Grady is day-to-day. He said they looked at it, and he thought it was good news, so it might be a good sign with the imaging and everything that he underwent. And, yes, he did undergo that MRI. And Jarrett told reporters in the locker room that he felt positive about it.
I saw him. I saw him leave the locker room Sunday, and I thought it's fine. I could see him not playing on Sunday.
Sure,
I could also see him play. I actually heard Carl and Mike talking about this yesterday on Dukes and Bell, and I agreed with kind of the sentiment, and I think it was Carl that was saying, "You're 6-3. Yes, you need to win games." But you also need to try to win games and look at
in December
where you'll be in December, matter, yeah. January.
I agree.
And so if you can go a week without Big Grady, maybe you push it, right?
This might be the week to do it.
You haven't rushed Troy Anderson back because you haven't needed to because of how Nate Lamon is. And so do you need to rush Grady back? You haven't had to rush Drew Dahman back because of how Ryan Neusel has played.
Been solid,
and
man.
Ian Rappaport did tweet out that it is not supposed to be anything that's long term. That's in regards to Drake London.
So, yeah, and here's the hip pointer, right?
Yeah.
Here's the thing about Grady Jarrett. I don't know that I've ever heard of that injury. And Lord knows, I know all about some lower body injuries. I don't know that I've ever heard of an Achilles. What do you say, strain or sprain? Which one?
Strain.
I don't know the difference in either one.
I know.
It's like it kind of seems like the same thing. I heard of calf strain, right? You've heard of all kinds of stuff.
Well,
I don't know
I
what
guess
the
a sprain,
actual.
You probably wouldn't walk.
I don't know what the actual mechanics of that are.
I don't know if you can sprain an Achilles. I'm not sure how that goes.
I
was always under the understanding that a strain, like a calf strain, was kind of a slight tear.
I thought it was the other way around.
So I don't know what exactly an Achilles strain is, but maybe he just tweaked it and it's definitely not torn in any way.
Yeah, and I think the other thing to keep an eye on, and I noticed this later in the game, and I don't know if it was after he was fully out, but you did slide Damon Harris into like a three technique role and put D'Angelo Malone outside rushing the passer later in the game, even though that's not the reason D'Angelo Malone was getting his reps, because he got some earlier in the day. But I think that's something to keep an eye on as well, because I thought Damon Harris actually played decently in the interior getting some pass rush. And maybe if you're scared about Grady Jarrett and what he means this weekend, that might be one of the answers you do see.
Yeah, and you saw Kentavious Street step up, Tiff, for Ruka Roro.
Yep.
I wonder if Big Grady can't go if we see Brandon Dorlus get his first time being active.
And Damon Harris, he's out of call-ups, I think, too.
So
that'll be interesting to see the way that plays out now that I think about it.
Back to Drake London, since I jumped the gun. Ian Rappaport did put out that it's not suspected to be a long-term issue. So he has that hip pointer, and Coach Raheem Morris saying that he's also day-to-day. It's going to be a pain tolerance kind of thing for him, which now leads me into this segment that I will never say these words in the particular voice that you guys like, but I'll let Dylan handle it.
I think this fits your jazz singer type.
Where's the voice?
Oh, no, he doesn't. We're going to do us
we're
like
doing,
that.
Oh, we're doing the...
Make, he doesn't want to make our goofy voices.
No? He doesn't,
yeah.
You don't want the...
No, he just wants the good vibes.
This is the good vibes? Okay. Now I feel like... I feel like I have to give a sermon. You know who could have produced the music for this? It could have been Ray McLeod.
Ooh.
Since he and a lot of other NFL athletes did collaborate on songs for the Madden game. And he is my player that I believe is rising up for the Falcons. And you have to wonder, how could his role expand with Drake London's status? We don't know if he'll be playing or not on Sunday, if they decide to maybe use it as a game for him to rest as well, like you mentioned with Grady Jarrett. But you look at McLeod's stats throughout the season, they were better at the beginning of the season and kind of dipped off a little bit. But I think now he's got his first touchdown of the season, which he got this past weekend. I think the status of Drake London could impact and maybe see him play a larger role in terms of what he can do for this team. We have seen him step up before, and hopefully he'll get back to that. I think due for maybe a late in the season kind of surge.
I love that.
Yeah, I think it's a good one, Tiff. He's having career year in almost every category, so I think it's a good one.
Yeah, my riser upper, if you want to call it that. So I went all the way back to week one. I was kind of watching some film. I've noticed, and I've said this on the pre and post, Caleb McGarry has been a guy who I think just structurally in terms of the way that he's used his body the last couple weeks, because he's been injured, for whatever reason, it's led to him having a little bit better kick sets, tighter elbows on his punches, tighter hands. You know, he used to be a guy a couple of years ago that played with his hands out wide, grabbing shoulder pads up high, you know, exposed his chest. His hands have been as good as I've ever seen on Caleb McGarry film the last 4 weeks, coming off the injury, the last 3 weeks, whatever it is. And it just leads me to kind of go back to where we were in week one and look at the Caleb McGarry against TJ Watt matchup, that everybody was ready to bench Caleb McGarry. Everybody was ready to put Storm Norton in. What is Zach Robinson doing? He's trying to get him some help with Kyle Pitts. Caleb McGarry, and you know I'm going to go with an offensive lineman, Caleb McGarry has been one of the guys that has risen up over the last couple of weeks. He's allowed this team to do some special things offensively, not just in the run game like he's known for, but in the passing game as well. Love what Caleb McGarry's doing right now.
It's funny because in the offseason, all people cried about was, you got Kirk Cousins, you got to upgrade right tackle.
Right.
And yesterday, all I saw was multiple analysts talking about the offensive line play and how good it's been.
Yeah.
Look, I've been very critical of the linebackers this year. And I've talked, how many times, Mike, have I said shed and stack, stop running around blocks. I think Caden Ellis is my riser-upper, because in the last three games, this dude has 34 tackles, a couple of tackles for loss, five quarterback hits, and a sack. Okay, he's getting the job done. In fact, you saw one of those tackles for loss last week was where he knifes through the backfield, makes a play on CeeDee Lamb for fourth and one. The other tackle for loss he had last week was where he read a screen on their opening drive in the second play, beat Zach Martin, Mike's idol. I mean, his hero, the creme de la creme for him.
He's all famer.
And beats him, knifes through, and kind of blows that drive up. They only get three out of it. It helped change. He had two plays that changed the game last week. So my guy is Caden Ellis.
I love it all the way around, man. Caden has been one of the guys that's been a leader of that defense. And Tip, to your point about Ray, I actually really like the fact that you went on Ray McLeod, because he just seems like a guy that in crunch time, him and Darnell Mooney in crunch time, time after time, have made incredible catches across the middle and been able to step up, man. So that's, y'all are both good all the way around in my book.
Results will be pouring in this evening. I'm not just talking about the election. The college football playoff ranking comes out, and it's also the trade deadline in the NFL. Today is November 5th. There are some bold predictions. One writer has the Falcons possibly landing a pass rusher. Let's discuss next when we come back here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Falcons rise up.
Yeah.
There you Falcons, go. Falcons rise up.
Yeah.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are going in the huddle here on the morning shift to give you the latest NFL headlines. And this coming from Cody Benjamin for CBS Sports. He's making some bold trade predictions ahead of the NFL trade deadline, which is at 5 p.m. this evening. And on that list, at number four on the list, he has the Falcons adding a second proven edge rusher. So he goes on to say that they will be getting this edge rusher from the Browns, Za'Darius Smith, in a trade.
Yeah, I would have to see what they're willing to give up. Remember, we already are missing a couple of picks next year because the Judon move and other things. And I would love to say that Za'Darius Smith is a guy. I wonder if Ojulari out of New York is a better option just because he's kind of come on recently. I can't imagine they're asking a ton from him. And they already have two options as their pass rushers inside of that defense. So I don't know. To me, it's all about what the asking price is, what the Falcons are willing to give up. I think you'd love to say, well, you know, hey, we got to go get a guy. We're one piece away. I don't know that that's true. And maybe I'm just, Bo, you can speak on this. I think maybe I'm just a little jaded from the whole Judon thing because I expected a lot more out of him when that trade was made, and we haven't gotten it so far.
And trade deadline's at 4 p.m. today.
Well, I think Matthew Judon's a little bit different animal. I also wonder what Za'Darius Smith is at times. I mean, I know that he has five sacks already this year, but he also plays opposite Myles Garrett. And what does that help? You know, he is a guy that's more than three times in his career he's had double-digit sacks. He only had 5.5 last year. He has 5 this year. His base salary, though, now he is under contract for next year. You can opt out. I really don't know, and I need to check, of how it's going to look for the team that trades for him, of what would happen with his cap situation, because he's only going to carry a base salary of $1.5 million, but he's got a roster bonus next season of like two, and then another one around 500. So he could essentially cost you around 4, and I think the Browns are the ones eating the rest of that dead cap. So if he's only going to cost me $4 million next year, and I know I can keep him, I'm a little more open to making that trade. What Cleveland wants for him, that's a different situation, because I have taken personally D'Angelo Malone off the trading block.
Yeah, got to. Yeah.
But I still have that 7th out there. So, and I think I have 2 of them. So maybe I'll give you both of them if you want. But I'm not. We don't have our 3rd, and we don't have our 5th. And I want to say we don't have a 6th, but I have to double check that. So yeah, the draft is looking pretty thin next year, and you're not going to have a ton of cap money in the cap to wiggle around and make other moves. I think that's why a lot of people are pointing to the Za'Darius Smith stuff and what he might cost next year. You can keep him on the roster.
Well, and I asked you this off air a couple of times, and I want to just, you know, get you guys' thoughts on this. And let's just take Za'Darius Smith's name out of it. Let's just say any edge rusher. Is there any package that could be sent to Atlanta that you would consider trading a Michael Penix for? Because that team would love to have maybe a really cheap signal caller up there in Cleveland, if you get my vibe on that one. I just wonder, because I know a lot of people have kicked that around. I do not think the Atlanta Falcons are even close to thinking about that, but I think that's an interesting talking point for some.
Yeah, I know everyone's in love with Myles Garrett. I am very unsure about this whole Myles Garrett situation and giving up a future quarterback, franchise quarterback, or even a first. I don't know what this. I know he had 2 sacks last week, but I don't know what his feet are. I don't know how long a guy wants to play. The guy has foot issues that he said he's dealt with, and it scares me long term for Myles Garrett.
Because I don't. Like, the dude's a freak of an athlete. Like,
okay,
his money, like, scares me more than it.
Do you think
I've seen him do sprints? Like, I know in a warm up ahead of the game, and I'm running up to go talk to him. Like that. Like, he's still explosive.
I don't disagree. Are you a Myles Garrett away from a Super Bowl? Because I don't know. I can't say yes right now.
You're concerned about the foot for long term. What about when? What about when now?
Because yeah, I don't know.
That's what you would be saying.
Because
if you
I don't know if
move.
He gives you that Super Bowl. I don't know if Myles Garrett. If you told me right now, you trade Michael Penix for Myles Garrett, I 100% guarantee, I guarantee you, you're in the Super Bowl. Just tell me you're in it, then I'm doing it. Because I think Myles Garrett could make a difference in a game like that. And I think
people
your offense is good enough.
For Myles Garrett.
Like, I understand that.
Wrecker.
I understand that. But I also have to worry about the long-term future of this franchise and financially and draft pick-wise. That's, you know, and that's what worries me. But if you told me he put you in the Super Bowl, then yeah. Tell me he puts me in the NFC Championship game. I might be open to it. But I, there are concerns, and they're rightful concerns. Also, I don't know if they're going to do that. I mean, he's a franchise player there. He's really the only franchise player there.
Yeah. I will be curious to see how it all pans out. I think that there are a number of other players we haven't even talked about that'll probably pop up as edges that might be dealt. I mean, we got like Josh Allen down in Jacksonville, or you know, somebody like that. But I think it's going to be a lot of craziness today, in my opinion, over some of these teams that are ready to pull the plug on this year.
So there's some fallout from the Cowboys' loss to the Falcons on Sunday, and that would be injuries, meaning Dak Prescott, their quarterback, he's set to miss multiple weeks with a hamstring injury, and there's talk, could IR be an option? Again, he also is dealing with a hand injury, but there's no further details on that. Everything seems to be about the hamstring, which he did say he felt something pull in that game against the Falcons. But
yeah, I just wonder, I said this to Bo when I saw that news come up, I just wonder at what level of this franchise these decisions are being made, because it just seems to me that when you talk about Dak and you talk about the injury, and I'm sure it's bad, but it feels like to me that we already talked about them not running Dak this year at all, like at all. And then you kind of look at it and you say, man, at what point do you just punt on what you are this year? And it just kind of feels like that. But I also think Cooper Rush is a viable option at quarterback for them. We saw it in the second half. He made some nice throws. So I'll be curious to see how that Dallas team points to over the next couple of weeks. But obviously it stinks for Cowboys fans that Dak won't be out there.
I mean, Trey Lance. Do you see if Trey Lance is worth bringing back for? Because this is his last year there. Do you see if he's worth bringing back for as a backup, or this would be a shot for him to prove himself? I don't know.
If this would have happened a week ago, I'd have said start him so maybe you can build some trade value for him.
But a week ago, yeah. Now you're out of luck. Unless maybe Cleveland wants to make another bad trade.
There you go.
This hour brought to you by Zero Res. Smart, lasting, clean. Well, your Gators have some bad news, Bo, as they go into their game against Texas. We will share that with you. You don't really use share when you're talking about bad news.
It's not bad news. It's not terrible news.
It could be lukewarm news because it might not be terrible.
Might not. It would help if I could read. That's probably what the problem
it
is.
It looks bad. Yeah. It looks like it's still bad, though. So,
reading comprehension is a skill, too.
I need a second cup of coffee. And we've got it mic'd up.
Yeah, we got it mic'd up coming up. How bad do you have to be fired as a head coach in the NFL? Well, one of these Dennis Allen numbers left my jaw on the floor. I'll share it with you when we come back on the other side of the breaks. Mic'd up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We are back here on the morning shift. I'm laughing at my own jokes and myself. This hour brought to you by Zero Res Smart Lasting Clean. All right, DJ Lagway. This is actually semi-lukewarm kind of good news, if that's what you want to call it, for the Gators. He's not been ruled out for the Texas game. So Florida and Texas locking up this weekend.
I wondered what the long-term status will be, because we just got done talking about Dak, right, and the fact that he's out for a few weeks. DJ Lagway, what looked like a way worse injury, a hamstring injury, he's getting carted off the field after his hamstring injury against Georgia, and was playing pretty well at the time. And I think that any sign that he's even possible to go this week against a Texas team sounds and feels like a minor miracle, to be honest with you.
Yeah, he was later on the sideline during the game this weekend with a brace on the left leg and on crutches as well, but he did undergo an MRI. And so Coach Billy Napier said the good news is we've had positive information on that front. We do think that the injury is less significant and there's a path to recovery and return.
Yeah,
I just don't think it's this week. I mean, I know he hasn't been ruled out. I would just be absolutely shocked. And I would I'd be worried for him, honestly. I would be worried for his long-term future if he came back. I think it's Jack Warner is the third string back. I think that's his name. He, you know, I give him credit. He did everything he could. He
not great numbers, but gritty.
Well, I mean, hell, you're a third string quarterback. You didn't expect. I mean, you really probably. I mean, I know you're second at this point, but you didn't necessarily expect to play. You're a transfer from I think it was Harvard or Yale. It's a tough situation
one of those really smart
to be.
Schools.
Well, it's a tough situation to be thrown in at, and so I felt for him, but I you know, I'm not sure you rush him back. You still have LSU. If you rush Lagway back and something else goes wrong, when you maybe could have let him sit another week because you have LSU and Ole Miss and then Florida State. I don't know if it's that particular order. I think it's it's LSU, Ole Miss, and Florida State in that order. So I don't ever want to sacrifice a game, but maybe you just throw poor old Jack out there and see what he's got.
Yeah, Warner ends the game 7-22 for 66 yards. I thought he played gritty, although the interception does set up Georgia's, you know, kind of ability to score that final touchdown. But I think to your point, if this was just, you know, if this was Graham Mertz with a pulled hamstring, you'd say, all right, you go in there and you're just going to chuck it down the field anyways. I think when you look at DJ Lagway, so much of what he's able to do is because of his mobility, his top-end speed, right, and the things he has to get done with his legs. And going up against a Texas team, especially when you cannot fully practice all week, to your point, Bo, I think that kind of sets you up to a point where maybe you're putting your team in a bad situation.
Also, it's Aiden Warner, not Jack. I don't know where the hell I got Jack from, but looked like a Jack to me, I guess. But Aiden Warner, I want to give you some respect. He's actually from Winter Park. It's just, I don't know, man. That's just such a tough situation to be thrown into.
Where are you at on Napier right now?
Well, I have seen nothing but progress from this team.
It's a good point.
And
play hard.
They brought in the new DC to start the year, and that looked like a terrible move because the defense was horrific. But this team hasn't quit on Billy or their teammates, and that's not easy to do. I mean, that's an easy thing to do when you start the season like they did. I would like to see Lagway and was it Jaden Vaughn, Eugene Wilson another year. I would hope that you could keep some of these guys around. See, that's the problem is you never know. I would normally say in a regular year, well, let's keep him because our regular year, what used to be college football, because you don't want to get rid of these guys because you lose guys to the portal and stuff. Now with the portal and the NIL, you might lose them anyways.
Yeah.
I don't know, but it looks like he has made progress and the team is building. So I would hate to just pay, what, $25, $26 million buyout when you could keep him one more year, see where you're at, and I don't think the team's a debacle like it looked like it after the first, what, three games.
Yeah, well, at a certain point, it's worth firing a head coach. Let's hit it. Obviously, Dennis Allen coached plenty of games in the NFL. He had his opportunities to prove his worth as the New Orleans Saints head coach, and he's been around the NFL for a while, so he has coached plenty of games, and he's longer in the tooth than some other head coaches. So short-term head coaches, I'm going to see where you guys' head is at. Who pops into your head as some of the worst short-term head coaches? Like, just spent one season in the NFL, and you're like, that guy needs to go somewhere, man. It's not good right now. You guys got any names off the top of your head? Because I got a couple successful college coaches that pop into mind.
I mean, Hackett, Nathaniel Hackett, okay. is the top. I mean,
that was 1 year in Denver?
Yeah, it wasn't even 1 year. Didn't even make it one year.
Yeah.
Josh McDaniel's term in Denver and in Oakland, I know he's technically been a coach for...
Oakland was two?
Well, I think it was one and a half. I think it was one and a half tiff at both.
Yeah.
He was pretty bad.
I was curious. I didn't know. All right, so obviously Lane Kiffin is up there. Like, you look at Lane Kiffin's stint with the Raiders, which seems kind of mind-blowing. That he was given, that guy like Lane Kiffin was given that job at age, what, 33?
Remember when he was fired and it was the whole, you know, Jamarcus is our quarterback. He's a great quarterback. Get over it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was that long ago. You say Jamarcus Russell.
That was 2008 or 2009 when he got fired.
Yeah.
Kiffin.
I also think of a guy like Frank Reich, who obviously, you know, had his ups and downs in Indy, but last year, you know, pretty bad over in Carolina. How about another college coach, Urban Meyer, who didn't stand the test of time? Bobby Petrino, another good college coach, didn't stand the test of time. You can go all the way through.
He left on his own accord, though.
And well, wasn't going well.
Yeah.
By the way, the NFC South, it seems like, has had more than their share of awful head coaches. It's like in any top 30 list I've looked at in terms of bad head coaches, like every team in the NFC South has at least two. Like, you're going all the way back to some of the bad moves that have been made. I looked at Romeo Crennel, who Andy Reid won with that team just a year later after he was asked to leave. How about a guy who lives here now, Hugh Jackson? You look at his record over a couple of seasons up in Cleveland, not very good. All right. Now, the longer in the tooth, because this was tweeted out yesterday by the NFL on CBS Twitter account, and I found it to be somewhat shocking. All right. So head coaches over the last 30 years that have coached a minimum of 75 games as a head coach. Last 30 years, minimum 75 games as a head coach. The fifth worst, Doug Marrone. This guy was the offensive line coach at Alabama 2 or 3 years ago, right? I got a chance to meet with him. I remember his stint in Jacksonville, not very good. I had to check back in with you guys. Fourth worst winning percentage. Now, again, the last 30 years, minimum 75 games, Dom Capers, 375 winning percentage. I don't know how familiar you guys are with Dom Capers.
Wasn't he the first head coach of Carolina? I think he was the guy that...
You might be
that,
right.
And then I know that he
came back.
Well,
they brought him back.
Did he go back there?
Yeah.
I know that he had another... He was the OC. He was a DC, in Green Bay for quite a while and was pretty good there. He might have been the DC when they won the Super Bowl with Rodgers.
Yeah. How about the third worst? All right, again, last 30 years, minimum 75 games, Jim Schwartz, who was with the Lions for a number of years.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
I don't think a lot of people were a huge fan of Jim Schwartz, man. He just did things very different. Obviously, all these guys, great coordinators, right? All these guys were great coordinators at times in their career. But then you start bouncing around as head coach, and you're like, whew, that's rough. All right, second to worst was Romeo Crennel. Like we just mentioned, 337 winning percentage over his time as a head coach and multiple stops, obviously, for him. And then the worst winning percentage by a pretty wide margin, if you coached over 75 games in the last 30 years, was Dennis Allen at a 329 winning percentage. So I think some people, and I'm sure there's even Saints fans, some people look at it and go, man, you know, that's a team that was really good before they were marred by injuries. Let's be honest, man. He was already a hair away from being fired at multiple points. The fact that this team, and I think we even heard it in Alvin Kamara's voice, when we listened to him yesterday and he was talking about, yeah, we got a lot of guys on this roster with confidence. Might be something else. It doesn't sound to me like Dennis Allen ever really had control of this locker room over the last couple of years, and there you have it, a 329 winning percentage, guys, and that's going to get you fired 10 times out of 10 when you talk about that big of a sample size. So we can go back and forth. Dennis Allen, what kind of coach is he? I know that he's a good coordinator, whatever else it is, but boy, oh boy. I think if you look at the numbers, it was time for him to go.
Did you mention Greg Williams?
I didn't all the way get to Greg Williams. No. Well, and of course he's not on that top five list because he didn't have 75 games. But
yeah, that's true. He only had 34. He had a 393.
Yeah, he was rough. Gus Bradley was on the short term list. Gus Bradley, Camp Cameron from the Dolphins, Spagnuolo, who's a great coordinator. He was not very good with the Rams. And a lot of these guys just come down to development of their draft picks, right? I mean, you can go all the way down, and some of these guys just made some rough decisions when it came to the draft. So, rough stuff, man. And obviously, there's a couple of Falcons coaches on this list as well. Lehman Bennett, how about that? Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Not as big a sample size, but yeah, rough stuff.
We come back here on the morning shift. It will be time for the wake-up call. You can tell us if you think this game against the Saints is a trap game, and why? Give us a call at 404-726-0929. Wake-up call is next on the morning shift on Sports Radio 929 The Game.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.